Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In our reading, Jesus warned his disciples, "Be careful that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and will deceive many." History has shown this warning, this statement of Jesus, to be true. Think about just in the lifetimes of many of us here today or in the recent past, of people who have claimed to be either Jesus himself come back again or to have some direct revelation from God, or claiming to be some kind of second Messiah or younger brother of Jesus. You might think of David Koresh of the Branch Davidians in Waco, Texas, who claimed that he was the Son of God. You might think of Jim Jones of the People's Temple, who said that he was a reincarnation of Jesus before he led his followers in a mass suicide in South America. Maybe you've heard of the Reverend Sun Myung-moon in Korea, who was the founder of the Unification Church, whose followers are also called Moonies, that he called himself the second Messiah and the Savior of the world. There's also a guy in the Philippines today named Apollo Quibuloy, who says that he is the appointed Son of God, and he's also the owner of the earth. And he claims to have 6 million people around the world who are his followers. You can watch YouTube videos about a guy in Siberia in Russia, whose adopted name is Vissarion, who dresses in stereotypical Jesus fashion with long hair and a flowing beard, who claims to be the Word of God, or Jesus Christ returned in the flesh. He has thousands of followers who live together with him there on a commune in Russia. And there are dozens of others who are not quite as famous as these in recent decades, and certainly in the centuries of history that have come between when Jesus lived on this earth and now. People who have claimed to be some kind of reincarnation or returned Jesus himself. But none of those things should be surprising to us, because Jesus told us himself here in Mark chapter 13 that such things must happen. Jesus promised us that there will be wars and rumors of wars. And as we look back on those 2,000 years of history, we see that there certainly have been many. Jesus says there will be earthquakes and famines. And again, we see that there have been and there are today. Jesus says, "Do not be troubled. Such things must happen." But maybe it's not so easy for us to follow that instruction of Jesus and not to be troubled about these things. Maybe it's easy for us not to be troubled when these events are happening halfway around the world and don't affect anybody that we know. But what about when some of these events strike a little bit closer to home and maybe even affect some people that we know or even our relatives or friends? And that's not all. Jesus says that in these last days, we will be persecuted for our faith. He says, "Be on your guard. People will hand you over to councils, and you will be beaten in synagogues." He says, "You will stand in the presence of rulers and kings for my sake as a witness to them." And Jesus says, "Whenever they arrest you and hand you over." Notice he doesn't say, "If they arrest you and hand you over." He says, "Whenever." This will happen. So does the prospect of such persecutions, indeed, the promise from Jesus that they will happen, does that not cause us to be alarmed when we hear those words? Are we able to keep cool in the face of such threats of persecution and violence against ourselves? When we are worried or afraid about the prospect of such disasters and persecutions, we demonstrate that there is a lack of trust in God and in his promises in our hearts, because God has promised to preserve us and to protect us. When we are worried or afraid, we show that we have forgotten where our true home really is. we show that retaining this temporary earthly home with all of its physical comforts is sometimes more important to us than gaining our eternal heavenly home with God forever. And when we worry about what we will say to others when we are confronted about our faith in Jesus, we also show doubt in the power and the effectiveness of God's word and in his faithfulness as he promises to be with us and to bless us in those situations. We might think, at least in some part in our hearts, that winning people over or testifying about Jesus, at least in part, depends on our own wisdom and knowledge and on our own turn of phrase and rhetoric. When we face opposition, hardship, or persecution because of Jesus, let's remember the words of Hebrews chapter 12, in which the inspired writer encourages us, let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, who is the author of our faith and who brings it to its goal. In view of the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of God's throne. Carefully consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinful people, so that you do not grow weary and lose heart. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood in your fight against sin. Now, I would guess that that last statement is true of most of us here today, that in our struggle against sin, most of us probably have not been resisting to the point of having to shed our own blood under persecution or for proclaiming the good news of Jesus. But Jesus did shed his own blood in the struggle against sin. He scorned the cross and its shame, and he willingly died there on the cross. And by doing that, he won the victory over sin. The blood that he shed there on the cross was poured out specifically for you and for me, for each one of us, for each and every one of our sins, including our sins of fear and doubt and worry when we face opposition and persecution for our lives as Christians and for the gospel message that we share. But Jesus has paid for all of these sins of ours. And as Hebrews says, he is the author of our faith and the one who brings it to its goal. Our faith rests on him and on what he has done for us. Our faith rests on his perfect obedience of all of God's commandments in our place. Our faith rests on his innocent death on the cross as our substitute. Our faith rests on his resurrection from the dead, the promise that he is the first fruits, that because he has risen from the dead, we also will rise from the dead and go to join him where he is, at the right hand of God's throne in heaven. When we think about and remember such awesome truths of God's love and salvation, when we remember that Jesus himself is the author and the perfecter of our faith, then we will certainly be emboldened to stand up against any opposition that might come against us and to confidently confess this saving message of Jesus and his cross. And God has given us many examples throughout history to encourage us as we do just that. Examples of bold and faithful believers whom God strengthened through his word to stand up even in the face of the most terrible persecution and still to clearly and confidently proclaim the hope of eternal life that they had because of Jesus. As we read about in our first lesson today, God emboldened Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to stand up to the threat of being burned to a crisp in that blazing hot furnace under the wrathful judgment of King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, who at that time was so powerful that he was called the King of Kings and the ruler of the earth. And as we saw, God saved them from that terrible fate. But as we look back on the thousands of years of the history of God's faithful people in this world, we see that there have been many who have suffered that terrible fate or other similar terrible fates of persecution and torture and death. And when their time came, God gave them strength to persevere in faith in Jesus, to remain faithful even to the point of such a terrible death as that. God emboldened the Apostle Paul to bear up under many persecutions. He writes about some of them in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, that he was imprisoned, flogged, exposed to death again and again. 5 times he received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times he was beaten with rods. Once he was stoned. 3 times he was shipwrecked, and he spent one night and day on the open sea. We also know that he was called before governors Felix and Festus and before King Agrippa to testify to them about the gospel of Jesus. He was even called to Rome to give testimony before Emperor Nero himself, who was one of the most violent persecutors of Christians in all of Earth's history. God strengthened other Christians of the early church to remain strong in their faith in Jesus in spite of persecution and execution, which included all kinds of terrible torture and death, including crucifixion, being fed to wild, ravenous animals for the entertainment of other people who were watching, and all other kinds of unspeakable physical torture and torment. And God strengthened the faith of a young German monk to stand up before the powerful rulers of Germany, before the Holy Roman Emperor, and before representatives of the Pope, to boldly declare that he would not compromise on the truth of the gospel, no matter what earthly ruler called on him to do so, and no matter what torture and death they would threaten him with. And just several years after that bold testimony of Martin Luther, God strengthened many of the German rulers to kneel before their emperor and invite him to chop off their heads before they would compromise on the true teaching of the pure gospel of forgiveness and salvation through Jesus. God has emboldened many thousands of Christians throughout the centuries to take similar stands for the truth of the gospel, sometimes in the face of fierce persecution and threats from earthly rulers. Their strength was in Jesus. Their confidence was in the forgiveness of sins and eternal life that Jesus won for them by his death on the cross. Nothing in this life was worth compromising on those truths that lead to eternal life with God in heaven. So as Jesus tells us, let us watch out. Let us be on our guard. And when the time comes for us to stand up and to testify about the good news of our Savior, no matter what the cost may be, let us do it boldly, trusting that God will be with us, speaking through us, that the Holy Spirit himself, who lives in our hearts, will speak God's word through us for his good purpose, which God tells us is for the salvation of many souls. Let's find strength in these words of Jesus in John chapter 16. Jesus promised, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." Amen.